It is 11:08 and certified financial planner, and you only have a handful of those in the country, by the way. You have to be a real smart aleck to be able to get one of those things, certified financial planner. Paul Roelofs is one of those. How's it, Paul?
Kino, you're too kind.
I do try. Government's certainly been, I think, on point when dealing with this COVID-19 pandemic. And I say that specifically because we've never, ever been confronted with this before. And I'm reminded of a little meme someone sent me with Bolsonaro and what's his name again? Trump. Boris Johnson's in this hospital bed. And Bolsonaro and Trump are basically saying to him, come on, get out, everything's fine. And Boris is on his red phone going, please put me through to a real president, Cyril Ramaphosa. Because, of course, we've done the whole lockdown thing. But I think we've all rallied effectively mobilizing South Africans to prepare for the onslaught of this particular crisis. But, Paul, how does one look at this from a personal finance perspective? What are some of those key themes that jump out at you when thinking about this?
Well, certainly, like, as you said, you know, it's uncharted territory, you know, so we've got to play it out day by day and just see the direction. Let's have a good look at how it's affected the markets, because the markets interpret the fundamental outcome of this virus to the extent that they understand it. And we saw the biggest fall in the market's history, you know, the quickest fall, actually. And it was in direct response because they would have to interpret the outcome of keeping people away from the economy for such a long period of time. And that has a devastating effect on our economy. You just have to rewind things like airlines and hotels and restaurants and all the ancillaries that come around that, and stop them for a while and see what that's going to do, the share prices and business profits and things. And it just claws back everything. At the same time, valuations are now totally different and unknown. And I think it's what it's done. The market's found a sort of settled point for the time being, and it's bouncing around there. But as this thing starts to play out even further, you know, we've now got this sort of work those figures again to say how much more devastating can it be. And that's the scary part. As far as the uncharted territory in the markets is concerned, they are just as confused. And we now just have to play this thing out. One bit of advice I must just, you know, echo. Conventional wisdom says don't sell. You're supposed to play this out. And I know it's a tall order to stand up and sort of, you know, make that decision for people. But at the same time, if you take the loss right now on the market position that you might have, you're going to realize the loss. So somewhere between it, the betters, will it get worse? And can I hold out even further down the road? And if I'm in a space where I've got time, then that's probably the better option. I just have a thought for those people that are really relying on pension funds or living annuities, as we call them, where they've got to draw down from this investment or this pension, which has now lost something like 20% to 30%. You know, the same income stream is needed, but now you're drawing that same income from a lower capital base, which means that your percentage drawdown is that much more, so you're eating more into your capital. So that's where panic can creep in very quickly.
Now, Jeremy was asking, you know, me earlier, Kino, this share, so I happen to be on the same thing on my app. I happen to be a FNB client, and it's got this share saver, right, where I think you buy Ashburton Investments and a couple of other stuff. He said, should I be putting more into that now? I said yes, because you're probably getting it at a better price. And if you look at the likes of First Rand, for example, you know, they're quite a savvy group. You know, they will bounce back. Was that the right advice?
Well, I think it's a bet. Again, you know, again, coming back to it, we don't know how much more devastating this is going to be.
Sure,
if this is the bottom and you get in right now and it starts to move upwards, you're going to smile very nicely by timing that. But I think I'm going to err on the side of caution here, Kino, and say that before we dive into this thing, let's get some direction from it. Yeah. And we're going to need a bit more patience to do this. Mm. And don't look at it as an opportunity to make a quick buck because we can now get in at what is perceived to be the bottom. Mm. There's going to be a lot of volatility at this bottom. And I don't necessarily think it's going to be that bounce all the way back to the top again. Certainly not.
Yep.
So why would I want to take that chance when I've got my money tucked away safely in a money market fund or paying off some debt, which is all certain to me? And I would sort of err on the side of caution there, especially because this is unknown territory. We don't know the collective damage that it's going to have, the outcome will have.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the relief on the way. Like, government has already unlocked a surplus, I think it's 3.6 billion rand, found in the UIF fund, and has opened this up to employees of companies who've closed because of the impact of COVID-19. The other challenge, though, is getting them to actually give you that money is always a challenge. It's one thing to make it available, but we know what government's like, you know, with all the hoops you've got to jump through. But let's talk a little around the relief.
Well, again, the government is, it has to find relief for all these people. You have to come up with this very stringent regulation. You can't just tell everyone to stay at home for 21 days and be oblivious to the fact that they need income to sustain themselves. Now, the people that are targeted here are obviously those people that are unemployed as a result of their companies closing down because of COVID-19. So somewhere in the application of this, you've got to take that into account. To my understanding, it hasn't been unlocked yet. It's been identified as an opportunity, as a surplus for that reason. And the whole idea is to really keep – I saw something the other day that it's going to give you at least the minimum wage, which is 3,500 rand. It'll make sure that you at least get that for the time being until we play this out. But it's the kind of pockets that we're going to need to look at. And obviously debt – is a big problem. We've just gone into a downgrade, which was in a way. Can I just speak to that quickly? That probably came in a very sort of ironic way or cynical way at a good time, because it's been clouded by this COVID-19 crisis. The pandemic has actually overtaken it in terms of our focal points. And yes, we've absorbed it into the economy. We're going to have to also deal with this once we land after COVID-19 is gone. And then we're going to have to assess at that point in time where we are in relation to where we need to be and then make an action plan to get there. So it's kind of like being lost in the translation, lost in the noise of COVID-19. Not to be ignored, it's got some systemic problems that will be the outcome. You know, we're now taken off the bond market internationally. Mm. We're going to have to go and find some debt now at higher premiums. But it's not all doom and gloom. I think from one point of view, it was hanging over us like the sword of Damocles.
Yeah, well,
and now we've got certainty. Now we know, all right, it's done now. And combine it with the damage effect of COVID-19, we can now get down to the bottom of it and then start building on some certainty rather than this if and but.
But we're definitely going to go into a recession. I mean, I don't even think that's a question.
I think a recession is here already.
Yep.
It's just by the nature of us staying away. You know, we've preceded the economy anyway.
But this also gives government a hard kick up the indecisive pants. I mean, the most decisive they've been has been with COVID-19. Why? Because they were forced to. Why? Because the epidemiologists and the fancy calculator people came and said, well, you're going to lose 300,000 people. What's that going to do? And then all of a sudden, we saw this. Okay, we've got to do it. We're going to lock you down. Whether or not people like it, we need to stand together. We need to do it. If we saw that urgency with our economy and with the tough decisions that even the NDP suggests we take, I think we'd probably be in a much better position than we currently are.
Oh, no question about that. You know, that same attitude, can you imagine from the starting blocks when they took control? We can go back to decades now. All those economic problems and challenges we faced, if it came down with the same sort of action plan and the same urgency, I think we'd be superstar by now. Certainly we'd be in a very good position, a strength position, much like the US, you know, where we could take $2 trillion and inject it into the economy, and you know, and have resources and funds, not to have to scratch around for an action plan. But you're right; if exposed that side of our country, if the government can get and maintain that kind of action, that kind of urgency to get things right all the time, every time, we can only do better, Kino. And the apathy creeps in when there's no urgency. See, it's a question of, you know, we don't have to get to it just yet, and suddenly it slips away from our focal point. But what COVID-19 did to us, it said, boy, we've got no option, get going. And they've stepped up, and I must give them some credit for that, because, you know, we put together a solid action plan, which is kind of standing tall amongst other countries, you know, first world countries that are kind of fumbling still. You know?
Exactly. Boris is still allowing people to jog. I mean, come on.
And walk their dogs.
I
don't get it. I don't get it. You know, in the context of the urgency, it's a kind of compromise.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've gone the stance of let's really get this right, because we're taking it very seriously. Yeah. I unfortunately, hasn't filtered down to most people, you know, at the bottom scale of our economy, and that's through, you know, information. We've got to get information back, and I'm beating this drum. We mentioned it last week. Why not open up data free to everybody? You know, let's get the communication channels really open and not restrict people to what, you know, what they want to know and need to know.
Well, Paul Roelof, sir, I want to thank you very much. We are going to be chatting to GSB now, by the way, to talk about COVID-19 and getting businesses to survive. Just a quick one, just thinking out loud here.
Sure.
Is social distancing, very quickly, an opportunity to save?
Oh, definitely. Social distancing is automatic savings. Transport, entertainment.
Yep.
All those things, grooming, and yeah, all those things that normally come out of the living expenses are automatically locked down or shut down. And so we're going to have an experience on the upside of savings. And I would just encourage us to keep the savings for as long as we can. Don't look for reasons to spend them. There aren't too many avenues to do that. All you can do is buy food and some essentials. But the point is to keep that savings for as long as possible. We don't know how long this is going to play out.
Yeah.
But as long as it does, for those that are fortunate enough to have an income stream, I think we can automatically save. But don't rush into the markets and don't try and make money out of this situation. I think just keep your cash safe and sound, put it into your debt, and make it liquid enough. One day, sometime in the future, when this thing pans out, we'll start to get a clearer idea, and there the opportunities will be seen.
You're talking,
it might even might be a new norm, who knows? But just hold on to your cash while you can. It's my bet. Yeah.
Pay the debt. I like the sound of that. Pay your debt. Anyway, Paul, great chatting to you, sir.
Always, Kino.
Certified. You too, mate. Certified financial planner there, Paul Roelof, sir.